Pokemon podcast for all news, information, and updates. This is Bulbacast Season 2.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 21 of Bulbacast. And with me tonight is the wonderful host of Pokemon Palace Network, PPN Steve.
Hey everyone, how's it going?
Also is the owner of Bulbagarden.net, Mr. Archaic.
Hello everyone.
The owner of Brinstar Depths and Bulbagarden chat regular and operator, Dratini927.
Hola.
Miss Bulbapedia herself, Miss Pie.
Hi everybody.
And also with us tonight is me, Satoshi-kun, and we are bringing you yet another wonderful Bulbacast. So, our first topic for tonight is, yet again, GTS. It is seriously foobarred right now. Let's talk about this. Apparently, if you name your Pokemon something that it isn't, say, you know, you got a Torterra and you name it a Mew, and then someone else goes and searches for Mew, your Torterra will pop up. Isn't that right, guys?
Yeah, it's buggy. Just recently started happening, too.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's something that could be fixed on Nintendo's end. If it's server-related?
How much you guys want to bet that this is going to bring the GTS down? This thing's really getting weird.
It's not going to bring it down, but it's probably going to bring major changes to it.
Yeah. Probably going to see a bunch of new names, like, named after all sorts of legendary Pokemon.
I have a Darkrai Bidoof.
The unholy...
Oh, here's something.
The unholy Bidoof army has struck the GTS. Oh, God.
No. Let me tell you about something that someone told me about. There is a guy who is so sick of people who are offering crappy Pokemon and asking for these really amazingly uber Pokemon. There's this guy who is now sharking Palkia that only knows Splash.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
He is my hero.
Yeah.
Hey, that's R-A-B.
Yes.
The only problem there is that they could probably take that Palkia to the move Rememberer and get it with the moves again.
I know.
Yeah.
What if the Palkia never knew those moves because it was sharked?
It could still learn the moves that would have learned by level up.
Right.
Oh, you do have a point, but your usual noob who's so stupid they're asking for something that big might not even realize that.
They probably would.
Quite true. And then they've still got to get all the heart scales to actually do it. And that takes a while.
Yeah, it does, especially in... This is Nintendo showing off their, you know, capabilities of Wi-Fi and still not that great.
Yeah.
Well, actually, this could be a really good thing, guys. This could be a wonderful thing. This could cause Nintendo to rework their GTS and actually include things that check for sharked and check for other things.
I mean, how many Diamond and Pearl games have been sold around the world now?
Too many. 6.8 million.
Yeah, and we haven't had the Australian or European mass releases yet.
Yeah, so that's another 6 million waiting to happen.
Or more.
So we're going to have... Let's think about it this way. You are going to have more people using the GTS than who you have subscribed to World of Warcraft. Another thing here, important point here. Now, in WoW and in all your other MMORPG games, all your players are scattered on hundreds of different... Well, okay, maybe not hundreds, but... Actually, no, yeah, probably hundreds of different servers in each game, sometimes. For GTS, one server.
Have gotten Wi-Fi just because of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Actually, this probably goes a lot towards explaining why you've only got a limited number of results back anytime you do a search, just because they can't possibly display every single thing out there.
Right.
They should change that. Yeah. They should, you know, make it instead of 7, they should put like 20 and change the whole mode of it, but they probably can't do that since the game's made already unless they do like a big update.
Right.
Which I don't think they can really do.
The game's probably capable of it. It's just what they're getting back from the server.
Yeah, that's true, because sometimes you look in there and you only find 3 for something really common. It's like, okay, a lot of people have to have more than 3 of like a Zigzagoon, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody, Nintendo, Pokemon USA, the company running the servers, does something to limit the glitchability, the exploits, whatever you want to call it, that's currently happening. Why they're using nicknamed Pokemon to search for Pokemon, I have no idea. That does not make any sense.
Probably lazy, too lazy to program something better. So they just use whatever name to put up, possibly.
I figure it's probably just an error in the back end of the server where they're looking for the name of the species, but for some reason it's also checking in the nickname field where it shouldn't be checking for some reason.
Well, technically it could be checking all the data.
That's what Kate just said.
Well,
if it's checking the whole profile instead of just one field.
Now, here's the interesting test. This is something I actually put up for a challenge because I want to see what if the trainer was named something like the same as a Pokemon.
Ooh. That would be
disastrous.
Can you trade trainers?
Anyone got a spare diamond or pearl cart?
Well, I don't think it would. I think it just kind of goes off the game because they're right next to each other, and it's like Archaic said, just an error in the program.
I'm sure it's just
it's more likely that they're checking the whole profile than it's suddenly checking 2 fields instead of just one.
Well, so you would think with the Japanese release being already, out for quite a while, that they'd have all the little bugs like that worked out.
They probably weren't exploited
so much. So the Japanese did not exploit those issues as much, from what I saw. You did not have those problems anywhere near as much.
Now maybe they didn't have those problems with Katakana or whichever they're using, but when it switched to the English alphabet,
what it probably is just looking for the other regions that experience from really, really far away places.
Because you get bonuses for that.
Yeah.
Maybe because they went and now you have multi-language when you put in Bidoof in English, it doesn't know to translate it to the Japanese characters. So it looks in the nickname field for Bidoof. Which, it's going to end up being wrong, but maybe that's what it's doing.
Well, that doesn't seem likely because you can see the nickname and the name in it. You can usually see that it's something in Japanese character. I think it seems most likely to me that it's just, instead of saying search this one field, they just said search all the data for this Pokemon.
Although, then again, I guess if you put some really stupid Pokemon on there with an uncommon name, so that wouldn't commonly be searched for, with a name of another Pokemon that wouldn't commonly be searched for, you probably might be able to get it.
Like, say you found a Pokemon you want on the GTS, and it says, like, it wants, like, a Crobat, let's say. And what if your Crobat isn't really a Crobat, but it's like a Bulbasaur, but it's nicknamed Crobat? I wonder if you could still do that that way, too. Like, you can send it.
Interesting.
That's what I'm wondering, too.
That's something we could do testing on. Testing, please.
We'll do that and just come back on the next episode.
I'll pick up some Bidoofs, name them Palkia, and screw those kids more than the Splash Palkia.
But now that I think about it, it's actually they do have things that search for like certain level ranges and like genders, so they're searching all the data anyway. So
yeah.
Actually, that's another thing.
So many.
How is that
things.
Level data stored? Because depending on how they're searching for it, if they're just searching for LV.SpaceNumber when searching for level, could you name a Pokemon with that level when it's wildly underleveled and manage to trade it because the first thing in the profile is the name?
It'd be interesting to figure out.
Hey, my Bidoof's named level 100.
On to the next subject, guys.
Yeah, we've picked this up, Pete.
Whew! That is insane. This GTS thing, each week of the Bulbacast just keeps getting crazier and crazier.
Man,
my God,
what
is it going to be next week?
Who knows? Yeah. Because we're going to do some
week?
Tests.
Oh, yeah. But I would love to continue talking about that because that stuff is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. But we have to get on to our next topic. Our next topic this evening is going to be PBR, and we're going to get Pikachu Trainer in here to talk with us about it. Main reason we're doing this is because, OMG, there is a commercial now.
Pretty
OMG,
fresh.
It
Ooh,
really, really sucks.
Yeah, just like the last couple of commercials for Diamond and Pearl.
Man, this commercial's even worse. This is even worse than that Diamond Pearl with the stupid rock music in it. We're about to get Pikachu Trainer in here. He's going to talk with us about it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. Yeah.
Hey.
So.
Welcome back.
How you doing this week?
You have seen the PBR commercial this week.
It's terrible.
So,
yes, we saw it.
Well, it looks like Nintendo has stopped all the hyping commercials, like Pokemon, the franchise. Like, I've been in all this year because of the hype. Like, and so, like, this all looks like it's like a living room game. There's no hype in the game. Like,
right. It's just.
There hasn't been any hype at all in any of the games this year, really.
Yeah. And, like, DP had the huge wave to ride of the user hype and everything. But PBR, like, even when the first release info was out, like, there were more people on the DP discussions than on PBR. So, like, we really should have got better commercials for PBR.
Yeah, well, you have to remember, the commercials for DP were terrible.
Except for throwing Pokeballs, that was pretty cool. The whole PBR looked to me like a just really late in the game Wii commercial. And it didn't even show much Wii interaction, much Wii functionality. It showed people sitting on a couch playing their DSs connected to the Wii. Was it a PBR commercial? Was it a Wii commercial? We don't know.
It looked like people sitting and playing Brain Age. Well, even people playing Brain Age will have more hype than that.
Exactly. There was no excitement in that crowd at all.
Man, no.
And what is PBR about? It's all about the graphics engine. They didn't show anything about the graphics engine. They used such.
I'm just thinking, it's really interesting that PBR's whole sales thing is, hey, look, it's Pokemon on your screen and really flashy graphics. And Nintendo's been going, the Wii's not about graphics.
True.
They didn't even show much for graphics. They just showed a little bit of screenshots and not enough of anything to really show you what the heck it's going to be about.
I mean, seriously,
about being able to customize your trainer?
With that thing, if that was a real going-to-TV commercial, that was betting.
Yeah, I think it's more of a media promo, let's say,
if that was a media promo showing, hey, you can now hook up your DS to a Wii, then yes, that works well.
Well,
but the way it's being presented, that's
they presented it as a 30-second commercial to the media. At least that's the captions and stuff that the sites that have it are saying it is.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but like the fund this time, I'm never going to get used to this fund. It looks like ants stretched out.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that I don't like is the fact that they're constantly, it looks like they're trying to promote multiple people gameplay, but how many of us actually have that many people sit on a couch with us and play this game?
Well, the Wi-Fi feature of it will allow it to be like that, but remotely. You know?
I have a lot of friends, I just don't have a lot of them that can afford the board games because they have lives and jobs and stuff.
Well, just like, not to mention trying to get a Wii anyways.
Yeah.
Or if they can't afford the games, then they can't actually afford to spend the time to play them.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a problem with video games in general nowadays.
Well, you got to have a lot of time. They take time.
Yeah, you got to have time and money.
Yeah, look at WoW and the WoW addicts. The average game player is 4 hours for most WoW players. Anyways, PBR to me, guys, is more a big screen DS expansion. It's a battle engine. It's all it is. It's basically taking your current DS team and 3D-ing them.
PBR is all about graphics. They never showed anything about the graphics.
You know what I think is going to be funny, guys? Is if when PBR comes out, everyone plays it, gets sick of it in a week, and it turns out just to be, for everyone, a Pokemon box.
Well, Pokemon box actually had a use.
Yeah.
Well, this is the only thing so far. No, this is the thing. Only thing so far that hooks up to your, we'll let you hook your DS up to your Wii, so, you know, it might actually have that capability. Yeah, they need to make an MMORPG or something for the Wii that is Pokemon related. You've been saying it. They need to do it.
The problem if you make an MMORPG for Pokemon is you are going to have to do very large scale.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be WoW large scale.
Of course.
Yeah, you remember what happened with Final Fantasy XI.
Load balancing servers with that.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
We all want it, but...
I'm sorry, Pikachu Trainer? What'd you say?
If they ever made one, it would require the largest server in the world.
Well, it would have to have hundreds of servers all just interconnected. It would be great.
Everyone wants it, but it's a very, very long
time. I think the biggest problem is, if they did actually do this, it would have to be subscription-based.
No.
With that many people, that many servers having to run, and how much would it actually cost to set them up and have them maintained in the first place, especially considering Nintendo's never done it before, it's a massive investment.
Yeah. And well, another thing I'd like to point out about the commercial, it looks like all the hype in the commercials have died since Battle Frontier. Last time we even had a good opening was Advanced Challenge. Regarding the anime.
Oh, that's debatable.
Don't get me started on the dub right now. I'm going to step out of this conversation right now.
They're wanting all the web pages, all the fan sites to do all the promotion right now, and it seems to be working for them, but still, the fan sites aren't wanting to do all the promotion. The fan sites are saying they're waiting for the next wonderful commercial so we can say, wow, Nintendo really cares about this.
Actually, we're waiting for more data information coming from official sources versus third-party sites and or IGN.
Yeah. But that can be to only a certain extent. Like, DB had that huge wave to ride, but like PB had barely any attention on the web compared to DB.
Well, yeah.
If you take a look at it. They don't have that huge wave to ride of the community hype.
Well, you know why?
Because we have no info to hype it with.
The console games are typically less popular than the handheld games. Nintendo's forte is the handheld game.
True.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. The console games are pretty much a secondary market to them, although the Wii is changing that slowly. I don't see it, PBR, making any major impact, though.
No.
You know, well, just like take the other Pokemon DS and Game Boy Advance games, for instance. You know, anything that hasn't been an actual Pokemon franchise, you know, the offshoots haven't gotten the kind of recognition that they should have either.
Well, true.
The 15 seconds trailer that first leaked out was probably more hypey than the 30-second commercial.
Yeah. We're waiting for hype. Nintendo, hype it. Pokemon USA, come on, give us some reason to want this game besides it's, you know, Pokemon. Yes. You know all the hardcore fans are going to buy it.
Put Palkia in it. Why are you putting some starters using Bubble?
If they want us to hype it, give us some stuff to hype it with.
Yeah, give us something to work with here, you know? Like, come on, we don't want another dud game. Yeah. We already know it's going to be.
We'll hype it all day on the cast.
Japanese, but...
Get some of your PR people to contact us directly and give us the information you're giving to the magazines that are getting printed and won't be out till next month. How about that?
There you go.
Yes. The Pokemon fans are going to be listening more to the Bulbacast than checking the magazines, I'm sure. We're the ones who you want hyping your games. Let us know what we can hype so we can hype it, please.
Yeah. I mean, even if you want to give us information and embargo it until the end of the month or whatever so we can't release it, that's fine. If we can see the information and we know it's worth hyping, then we can tell people it's really great and actually know it's true.
Yeah. Pikachu Trainer. Got anything else for us with the PBR? Your final thoughts on it, maybe?
That's all.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having
me. See you. Yeah. Bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Wow,
I could understand him a whole lot more.
Yeah, that was great. Much, much cleaner this time than last time.
Yeah, that was wonderful. He had less background noise.
I just did that test when nicknaming a caught Pokemon, and I nicknamed the Starly Palky, and it doesn't work.
Too bad.
Darn it!
All right, then.
That stinks.
Sato, what do you think we should move on to? Okay, do you have any thoughts? Anything to move on to?
Latest episode.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was actually a really interesting episode from what I've heard.
Basically, the thing I wanted to bring up with this latest episode, rather than Weasel's character development, was basically the fact that we have just seen the Elite Four in the anime. And this isn't like just one member of the Elite Four. I mean, he was the only one that was physically there, but we have seen the actual animation of what the other guys look like now. And we've also had introduced, if you win the tournament, you get to fight the Elite Four.
We haven't
had that introduced in the anime before.
Right, which could lead us to believe that there's some possibility of a major battle coming up towards the end of the Diamond and Pearl arc.
Yep, possible foreshadowing.
Indeed.
But will Ash win?
Of course not.
Good question.
Has he yet? He might, but he wouldn't win. I don't think he'd win against the Elite Four, but he might win the tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
You think they'll let him win this time and get to the Elite Four?
I think it would be cruel if they did, because, I mean, I
think they've got to.
He hasn't really won a major yet.
Yeah, no, I
think they have to, because they've set him up to battle this guy.
Yeah.
I've said before that I don't understand why they play it like if he wins a major tournament, series over. I've been waiting for him to win a tournament so we can see what steps beyond, because really, if he's a Pokemon master, he's not like, I won one tournament, I'm going to retire from Pokemon training forever. Bye. There's got to be more beyond that, and I've been dying to see what it is, and now we're finally getting a taste of it. Though, admittedly, I kind of think people are going berserk over that, and it's like, it's one flashback, or...
Flash forward?
Flash forward? Maybe, memory? Envisioning?
Yeah.
Another point, we are going to see in the anime next week, I mean, probably not, again, physically there, but we will see Daidouga and Pika. I can't even
pronounce
their names.
Is they're going to try to introduce us to the time-space thing now so that we're used to it for movie 10 coming around?
Quite possibly. Isn't the more interesting fact here that we've got a recurring character basically introducing them?
That's interesting.
There's a lot of interesting points here. Like the fact, I want to know what the two Jenny thing is all about. And I also want to know if we're actually going to be Solactic at this point. It doesn't seem likely, but, you know, hope springs eternal.
It's actually a pretty good time if they're going to introduce the time-space thing with Diago and Palkia.
I'm going to make a wild and outlandish prediction here.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
That guy, the recurring character, is going to be a member of Team Galactic.
Undercover or blatant?
For now, undercover, maybe later blatant.
Wow.
That's my prediction. He's actually a Team Galactic member already.
All right. Mostly how that works.
Course, begs the question, why him when they've got three that they haven't used already?
Well, why not? We've already been introduced to this particular character.
Well, actually, there's been a note about how closely they've been following the games. Isn't this like the first real encounter that you have with Team Galactic in the game? Like,
no, we've already passed that.
Something I think a little, you know, off-topic but on-topic at the same time. Uh-huh. I think they're kind of showing the legends like they did in Hoenn when they show Groudon and Kyogre. Mm-hmm. They just kind of give you a teaser of what they're
exactly.
Like.
That's, you know, something to expect. You get to see them in the movie that's coming up in a couple of months. So here's your teaser. Here's your preview. Mm-hmm. This is what they look like. This is what they do.
All for ratings and business.
Exactly. But that's the business of anime is you promote your continuing characters and or works of art, you know. If you're going to do an anime movie, you promote it somehow.
What makes success?
Exactly. That's why Pokemon's lasted 10 years and other animes go away after two.
That does remind me. Wow. Someone mentioned something about rumors of the series ending, like the series ending soon.
There's rumors every year.
I doubt they do that. Why do people think that? Nintendo doesn't hate money.
Okay, I'll tell you where this is coming from, guys. This is coming from idiots in America who think that Pokemon is doing as badly in Japan as the anime has been doing the past few years in America. These are not people who are informed. It's just people every year saying, oh, it's going to die because we think it's doing so bad everywhere else besides, you know, just like it is in America.
I bet you you're right, too.
That's what you've got. Yeah.
It's not in Japan. It's top range ratings here. Even though now it's on Cartoon Network, half the people that used to watch it can't.
Yeah.
It still pulls in pretty good ratings.
The movies still top the box offices.
Well, in Japan they do.
In Japan, we don't get them here.
Yeah, and that's the movies don't make it to the box offices here.
Which is a really sad thing because I'm sure they sell well.
Man, that was one interesting episode. You know, they really are all win this time around. I love it. But, you know, we can't just sit around and talk about this forever.
Anyway, what else are we going to talk about right now?
So, we got to go on, get the show on the road, and I do believe next we're going to call up our good old friend, Luntasaur. Wah, my fat!
Charmander, Char.
And let's get him in. Hello, Blunosaur. How are you doing this evening?
Not bad, not bad.
Great to hear you.
It's good to be back again.
So what's your question you got for us this week?
Well, I figure I'll start off with something simple.
All right.
Now, as cool as Diamond and Pearl has been over the past few months or so, what changes or improvements would you recommend for the inevitable fifth generation?
The spunky GTS glitch issue. Well, it doesn't have to be virtual reality, but just a much better online gameplay presence. You know, we don't just want to battle online, okay? That might be fine for now and hold us over, but we want more.
It's nice that we can now. We are very thankful for it. Well, if you give a mouse a cookie, he'll want a glass of milk.
That would be nice, too, but it doesn't have to
be... Back to, you know, what Steve's always wanted.
It doesn't have to be MMORPG. It can be friend code based.
But as we've already discussed, that just ain't happening.
Portion of that to be involved with the fifth generation. It's not that hard to link two games together so you can play at the same time.
Okay, now this is a minor gripe I have. That's kind of existed since the past, but it got really annoying to mainly the HMs. Ever since I started playing, I noticed all those places you have to use rock climb to get up. They're all over the place. I just now recently got rock climb.
It's not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah, but I just recently got rock climb in Snowpoint City, and now
I
have to go all the way back to those places I was before just to get those items I missed. It's annoying.
Yeah. Hmm.
You know what I consider to be the worst thing?
What?
The fact that there's an extra confirmation when you release
Pokemon. Somebody
got
slapped.
I am
not going to comment any further.
No, am I. Yeah, I think the worst place were with the HMs and everything is... Well, I don't want to spoil anything, mainly towards the end, but towards the end, at the end of Victory Road, there's one part to get to another route.
Yeah.
You have to have Rock Climb and, I don't know, another HM, I think. Or you need Waterfall and Rock Climb to get to that route every time, because you can't just easily fly there. So that's pretty annoying.
Yeah. I was actually serious about the whole extra confirmation thing, because I have seen people having problems with, you know, who do a lot of EV training and a lot of breeding.
They pick the wrong one.
They get some Pokemons they don't like, they release them, and then they accidentally release their own starter because, ouch. Yeah, so, you know, we need a big picture of the Pokemon it's about to release and say, do you really want to release blah-bitty-blah?
It shouldn't be on the normal when you deposit. You it shouldn't go. Be right there as release. It should be its own separate section. Like, withdraw, deposit, release.
Right.
And you wouldn't have that problem at all.
Have any of you ever come up with your own ideas for new Pokemon? Because I actually came up with one a while back. I call it... It's an ice...
Blizzard.
It's an ice slash flying type that I call Blizzard.
Oh, God.
An ice buzzard.
That's
yeah,
cheesy
Blizzard
enough
and Buzzard
to be an official name.
I'm a very large fan of original Pokemon, and I've actually made a lot of my own ever since, like, first playing the games. I mean, I think it would... I know that it's probably not going to happen, but I think a lot of us dream about our own ideas for Pokemon becoming real new things. But, you know, unless they accept us as developers.
It's not too far-fetched. Don't forget that in some of the later Mega Man games for the NES, Capcom actually took submissions from the fans for ideas for new Robot Masters.
Really?
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
They ran competitions.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
It would just be a small
step. I'd love
that.
But I'd also love to work on the Pokemon games, if anyone's listening.
Actually, they already did it in Japan. They've already done this in Japan. I don't know if they actually had a new Pokemon done up by fan, but they did definitely have a competition for a fan to create a new attack.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which is that dragon one, whatever
Meteos,
it's called.
Draco Swarm now. I think it's called. It used to be Meteoric Swarm, I think.
Whatever it's called.
Well, you know, they've already done a choice where
you
can choose
the Pokemon
that
for
to be imported
attack,
into the next
they can
game,
do it
whatever,
for a
wherever that was.
At some point.
Yeah.
But let's be...
It wouldn't be that big of a jump for them to go to create your own Pokemon, and we'll draw it and put it in the game.
But I think if it's a... I also got to say, I was kind of disappointed by the outcome of that contest, because you know it was going to be something, like, big, overly, obnoxiously special.
The general player is the Uber user.
It was some new super powered legendary or three.
The rules would probably be a bit different. With that attack competition, it was just the winner gets to create an attack. With this competition,
right,
it would be
like
submit your ideas for a Pokemon and we'll choose one of them to be the winner.
But still.
So you'll get something that probably is a lot more reasonable.
Well, if they had a friggin' Pokemon contest to create your own Pokemon, Purple Keklin,
I remember
what she did when we didn't know the starters for this generation. She made up those three new ones, and everyone believed them for the longest time.
Mm.
And she did.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
The Psychic Dark Fighting.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I made up one of those.
Yeah.
It was actually awesome.
I came up with some good names for those, too.
What'd you got?
I forgot what they were.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, one last question before this conversation gets any crazier. I've known people on Bulbagarden, especially Butler. They like to make up special rules for our battles. Do you guys have any special rules that you like to use?
Only the standard...
Hey, if you tell me no Ubers, don't bring any.
There's some standard rules that you'll often find used in a lot of the competitive online battles, and I have no problem with those rules being used, but other than that, unless it's a special thing that we've arranged beforehand for, like, okay, we're only going to be using Pokemon of this type in the battle or whatever, some special challenge, then otherwise I'm not really using any special rules.
Actually, it's not that complicated. The rules Butler and I used were four Pokemon, level 50, and no switching out.
I've got no problem, but I'd normally not play by anything like that.
Actually, there's one I want to try that might be in Battle Revolution. Basically, you tell your Pokemon all
that would be interesting.
The six that are on your team,
challenging,
and they pick your three for you, and vice versa.
Oh, is it?
I've heard.
That's an actual rule in Battle Revolution.
Yeah,
I've heard. Yeah, I saw it in a YouTube video once.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
I could see that, you know, going on Wi-Fi right now with Diamond and Pearl. You just get six Pokemon in your party, arrange them in any way you want, and then you have your opponent say,
cool,
okay,
though,
I want you to pick
Pokemon.
Then
your battles would actually
one,
be a lot
four,
more
and six,
randomized.
And you use those three.
And your trainer skills would have to come into play a lot more than, say, your trained Pokemon.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't know what your opponent is choosing for you until after you've already chosen for him and vice versa. You can't just pick the three that are going to
make
the worst
battles
for him against your team, because he's going to be picking the three that are probably going to be the worst. And it's a lot more levels of prediction than in a standard 6-on-6 where you can easily see, okay, he's got those, so my best possible choices, given his possibilities, are this, this, and this.
Yeah. Takes down calculations a lot.
Yeah,
I think it's more fun when you're battling to be surprised by what they have and for them to be surprised by what you have.
Yeah, it just makes the battle more fun.
There's another rule I'd like to try, but you'd only be able to do this in person. Basically, just swap teams.
That'd be iffy, because then you'd get people nerfing their Pokemon on purpose or making them with very, very obscure, though still workable, movesets so that a person has no idea how to use it. Because, of course, you don't know what your stats are. And it's like, okay, I've got this Machamp. I should be using this attack. Well, no, you shouldn't, because he's got no...
I don't know.
Whatever in his
stats. That doesn't
stats.
Sound right to
he
me
be
either.
Using that attack instead.
I do like the idea of choosing your random opponent Pokemon battle with.
There's also a roulette mode in Battle Revolution Pokemon? Where your team's picked entirely at random on both sides.
I don't remember hearing about that.
Your own team.
We'll see when it comes out and give a clearer picture. Anything else you got for us, Blunt?
No, I'm pretty much wiped for the night.
Alrighty.
Alright then. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, 2 a.m.
Great question.
No problem. Thanks.
Alright, see you later.
See ya.
Yep.
Later.
There he is. Give a lot of good thoughts.
Yeah, man, it's always great to have Blunosaur in here, you know.
He always brings good questions.
He's got a good perspective on things. That was a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, fresh and new.
Yep. So, moving right along to the question of the week. And welcome to the question of the week, the question of the week, the question of the week. And the questions of the week were, A, what do you think about EV training in the Pokemon games and people who use it to win and or get ahead or whatnot? Alright, and the anime question was, what do you think about Team Rocket doing good? Do you like it when they do? Do you hate it? You wish they do it more? Wish they do it less? You wish they'd never do it at all? That sort of thing. Alright. Now, we had some pretty lengthy answers and a lot of answers, so I think I might have to condense a few of them. Sorry, guys, but I might have to do that this week. If you guys want to see the full answers to some of these, you know the form to look at. Now let's get on with it. Korobake Hajiro has no clue on the game question, but really, really likes it when Team Rocket goes good. In fact, they'd love to see another Island of the Giant Pokemon, and also really wishes that Jesse would have a going good type episode like James and Meowth have had recently. Understandable. Now, Ashita also just answered the anime question, but absolutely loves it when Team Rocket tries to do something good or helpful, whether it be towards the twerps or to anyone else. And when they really do it, and, you know, try to do it, it adds extra dimension to their characters. It also shows that, hey, they got another side to their characters. You know, they're not just a bunch of mean, rotten, bad people. They like good occasionally, too. You know, everyone has to, unless you're really completely, truly rotten. But, nah, Team Rocket isn't. Now, Yamatadadine says, for the game question, they're very fine with EV training. In some ways, it's almost necessary, thanks to the Battle Tower, to have Pokemon with halfway decent stats, and EVs being really the only way to keep up with them, they say. And for the anime question, Yamatadadine really, really likes it, because it shows that Team Rocket is not truly evil. It also shows that Criminal Team can't be evil all the time. There has to be a limit somewhere. True. Now, Pikachu Trainer says for the game question, EV training is not some evil practice under which evil, uncaring trainers impose their Pokemon. No, 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 no. That's wrong. EV training is a part of the game. It's not like, you know, when you're EV training, you're not good to your Pokemon. Nah, you know, you can really care as much about them as anyone else. And, you know, it's not a bad thing. And he just says for the anime question, Team Rocket is not some evil team. They're really more of a mixed personality, so he really doesn't have a problem with them going good. In fact, you know, really enjoys their movie appearances and, you know, the times they do good. That works. Now, Tori says that they can applaud anyone who can actually be bothered to sit and EV train their Pokemon. They still have several Pokerus-infected Pokemon they've been meaning to EV train, but after about 10 battles, they lose interest and go on to do something else, like sleeping. Hey, winners don't sleep. No sleep for you. 5 years. Okay. And Tori is not going to answer the anime question, as it would take too long for Tori to get to the point, they say. Okay. Now, Jonoichi says that they really don't care, you know, either way about EV training. They would never use it because they're not all that over-competitive. They go, you know, as they are, level up and go. But, hey, if these guys want to make perfect Pokemon in their arsenal, let them. Alright. And for the anime question, Jonoichi says it goes to show that they're not as bad as Ash and company make them out to believe. Can't disagree with that, but whatever. Sure, some of their methods may, to them anyway, be a bit cruel, but hey, they do have a soft spot for everything else. Take James and Mime Jr., for example. You know? And I'll also add this. Remember, you know, Team Rocket and the Togepi egg, and aww, how much they cared for it. They're really not that bad. And an edit to add, if it wasn't for Meowth's compassion for Pidgey in that One World Islands episode, that would have been a really horrible filler episode. Good point. Now, Foolmaster says they really liked when Team Rocket is nice. You know, when they work with the good guys, they actually win alongside them. You know, it is nice to see them win occasionally. Now, he thinks the reason that Team Rocket loses time and time again is because they are evil and suck at it. But it's not like Team Rocket are purely evil. They do appear to have a soft spot for things such as their Pokemon and, well, some people, you know? And he thinks they'd be much better off being good and fighting for Ash's team because it opens up the door for them to become stronger trainers as well. Good point. Truthfully, I'll give my opinions on Team Rocket. I think Jesse and James are really, really, really good. But Ash is so much better, you know? The first time Team Rocket ever had to battle Ash and Pikachu, they were doing great. They were well known as a criminal organization. They were well known for doing a good job. It's just that there's one single guy and his team and his friends that can beat them. Now, IU has said that EV training is kind of a double-edged sword. Whereas it does make training your Pokemon more strategic, it becomes somewhat of a hassle when you have to structure a game mechanic that should be free-roaming. As for trainers who practice it, IU sees them as respectful folks who take the time to set up the EV conditions yet battle-obsessive. Okay. And, well, IU says Team Rocket is good guys are pretty nice. You know, they enjoy how Team Rocket has sacrificed, or did sacrifice themselves in Movie 2, and yet managed to poke fun at their own deaths. As for IU, it seems that, you know, they'd like to see more of the good side and reveal how they can play the hero just as well as Ash. Could be interesting. Alright, now Lazykin EX has no problem with EV training. He doesn't do it because it takes so much work. For the anime question? Lazykin EX really likes Team Rocket when they're good because they're actually successful most of the time. Now, someone else already said that, you know, it makes sense. Now, Martian has said about Team Rocket, "Ooh, they're the bad guys. They should stay bad. What's the point of bad guys doing good?" Oh, well, I guess that does make a little bit of sense, but still. Come on. They're just bad guys all the time. They get boring. And move over, Swampert, Driftblim, Chat Hut. We now have Kamen Rider Sassword. Did you register that long name just to hear me say it? I swear, sometimes you guys do things just because you want to hear me read them on the Bulbacast or something. I get a kick out of it, though. But Kamen Rider Sassword says, for the game question, hey, if you feel like going through the hassle, go ahead. If you don't really feel like doing it, don't. They personally don't EV train, they just train. For the anime question, well, Jesse and James never really seem like bad guys to him after a certain point, so they do something good from time to time. Hey, it's cool with them. Besides, when they try to do bad things, they just have a tendency to fail miserably. Good point again. Now, Swampert Driftblim Chat Hot says, yes, it's Swampert Driftblim Chat Hot time. I should actually make up a song about it, shouldn't I? Swampert Driftblim Chat Hot, Swampert Driftblim Chat Hot, Swampert Driftblim. It's a tongue twister too, wonderful. They don't care about EVs, and, you know, at all that, they'll just go on to the next question, which is, the anime question. Swampert Driftblim Chatots thinks that Team Rocket should be kept evil and become more of a threat, otherwise take him out of the show. Swampert Driftblim Chatot also says it's either be serious or don't be at all. Swampert Driftblim Chatot also would like to mention that they'd like to see what really happens if Team Rocket really gave Pikachu or anything, for that matter, to the boss. Well, thank you, Swampert Driftblim Chatot, for your Swampert Driftblim Chatot question. Wonderful! Now we'll go right along to Magpie, who says they're all for EV training, thinks it adds another fun layer to the game that some players can take advantage of or not. They love to do it and really thinks that it takes some skills. Hey, it's a good addition. Now for the anime question, Magpie really loves it when they do good. You know, they're a real true Team Rocket fan and really enjoy these brief moments when their true character shines through. Team Rocket as a vigilante force would be terrific. They could still do a lot of sneaky illegal things, but hey, be totally helpful and hilarious at the same time. Everyone wins. Good point. Now, Shaded Sprider says they do like it when Team Rocket decides to play by the rules. A good example is James and Mime Jr. in the Pokemon cosplay competition. It was so cute. I do agree that was cute. Now, Shaded Sprider also ignores EVs, unfortunately, they say. Well, you know, it kind of seems that it's one of those things that doesn't really matter, you know? Just have to play your own way. No problem. Now, Blastoise knows a lot of hardcore players who do the whole EV training thing, but truthfully, he wouldn't touch it with a 2-mile flagpole. Not only is it way too complicated for him, but personally, he doesn't see much sense in catching a Pokemon and doing a bunch of addition and subtraction just to see if it's a Pokemon he can use. As long as a Pokemon has a good nature, a good trait, and a good move pool, hey, it's good enough for him. And for the anime question, Blunsor would definitely like to see Team Rocket play the good guys more often. They've been stuck in a massive rut since AG, and they really do need a change, he thinks. So, you know, he thinks that maybe the occasional good guy routine could help, or maybe not, but hell, it can't hurt. Well, you know, that's a good point. He doesn't want them to turn good overnight, but, you know, a few good deeds every now and then would be a step in the right direction. Well, that's it for the questions of the week, and now let's move along to the questions for next week that I will give to you now. And the questions for next week that will be answered next week that I'm reading this week right now are from the wonderful Kasumi, the op in Bulbagarden, an occasional Bulbacast member. She gave me a game question and an anime question, and I really like them both. She says, first off, for the game question, do you have any shinies in Diamond and Pearl, and if yes, which pokes? And I'd also like to further add, how'd you get them? And also, Kasumi asks for the anime question, you know, do you think this is going to be the last saga for Ash? I don't know, there have been kind of a few things that people have felt have been kind of pointing in that direction. I hope not, but let's see what you guys think. Well, now that about wraps it up, and have fun, good luck, and can't wait to read your answers next week. Woohoo!
Oh, we love the questions. Guys, wow. Have great answers.
As always, I love these questions of the week. It's great. What do you guys think?
I am too.
Always great.
Well, yeah, we've got these great questions. I like the way you're breaking them down.
I think it keeps getting better and better, to tell you the truth.
Game questions, it's keeping everybody's attention and touching base for everyone.
Yep.
That concludes yet another wonderful Bulbacast. It was great, great questions, great call-ins, great topics, but all good things must come to an end. So, this is Sato-kun, here reminding you guys to visit PokemonPalace.net, to also visit Bulbagarden.net and PocketMonsters.net, and we'd love to see you in our chats as well. You can get there if you want to use Java, chat.bulbagarden.net, or you can use an IRC client and go to irc.systemnet.info, and from there you want either Channel Bulbagarden, Channel Pocket Monsters, or, as always, an hour or two before the Bulbacast starts on Saturdays, you might just want to come over, check out Channel Bulbacast. And, hey, we'll see y'all there. It was great talking to y'all. Have a great evening, and farewell.
See you later, guys.
Not everyone. Janemina, mata raishine.